Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. I miss you all. It's been about a month, actually pretty much a month from today or a few days ago that we have not aired. We took a sabbatical, took a break. We do that normally around this time of the year or around the December holiday time of the year. We take a break just to give ourselves a chance to renew, refresh, get clear perspective so that we could come back and bring you a broadcast that will be rich, rich in content. A lot's been going on during that time, and so tonight's show is going to be it's going to be brief, but to the point. I wanted to bring up some of the things that we're doing and just kind of get you all prepared for this new season we're going into. Our new season, new show will actually launch on February the 4th, which is next Thursday. So we're going to start in the month of February, and we will get down to some nitty-gritty. We have the book is going to be launching in February. I don't want to give you the exact date. We actually have it in hand, just going through some fine details. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about this book. This book's been a long time coming. I've been pregnant with this book for about 8 to 10 years. And if you've been following my show, every year I say in spring, spring the book is going to produce, spring the book is going to produce, and each year spring would come and go and come and go. And I started realizing that Coach D wanted the book to hurry up and manifest, that I wanted it to manifest for spring, but I guess God had other plans. Glory to God. But I'll share that testimony as well when we start our new season in February about the book and some of the frustrations of the book, some of the things that I had to face and go through regarding the book, some of the loss that was connected to the book. But this book has manifested, and I am so grateful to God that he saw fit to give me an opportunity to be the author of his work, because I tell you, it's not my work. I had to read this book. I literally took last weekend and I shut down Friday night and all Saturday. And this book, I read the whole book. Now, the book is not a big book, depending if you're a reader, if you really like to read or you find interest in what you're reading. This book, I read it in I literally read it in one day. And I felt like I needed to read it. You know, sometimes we'll do things, whether it's, you know, write a book or just, you know, cook a meal. And oftentimes when we do it, we just say, it's just me doing it. And sometimes we don't go back to taste our own creation. You know, many times with people that cook, they kind of nibble during the cooking. So when it comes time to sit down and really be able to enjoy the meal, by that time they don't want it. I'm not sure how many authors literally go back and read their book, because we have to be so involved with the, you know, the formatting of it and the editing of it and all this stuff, especially if you're a self-publisher, which I am. But we have to get so involved with all the grimy details. So I felt like I read this book back and forth and back, and that, you know, that I really, you know, it wasn't necessary for me to sit down and read it in its entirety. But God literally spoke to me and told me to read my own book, because I was going through some challenges. You know, last year, December, I had some challenges that I was facing, and coming out of December into January, I've seen a lot of death, and those, you know, I've had death of those people close to me, and so it started weighing heavy on my faith. I became weary, and the spirit of fear had overtaken me, and then I was looking at all this stuff of this world. You know, the politics and COVID and all these things. And, you know, I was felt like I was doing a good job guarding my heart. And some of you may be able to relate to my transparency here, but I thought I was doing a good job guarding my heart. I mean, after all, I'm a woman of faith. You know, I'm trusting and believing God, and I'm speaking, you know, I'm praying and speaking and believing by faith. And so for me to be attacked in the way that I was attacked, it really kind of shook me. And it's not that, you know, that that I didn't have the faith, but it shook me. And it left just enough door open for the enemy to come in and then begin to plant the seed of doubt and fear. And so I recognized what it was, but I then had to begin to, I found myself having to begin to process through pains again. And we're going to always process through pains, but I'm telling you, I had to process through some pain. So again, I was led by the Holy Spirit to shut down and read my book. And I tell you, it was a blessing. I sat down and I read this book. I read it from front to back cover, and it reminded me. It was a good nugget. And so the one thing I can say about this book is that it's an easy read, but it's a tool. It's not one of those books you read it one time, put it up on the shelf, and you never read it again. It literally is one of those books that you'll find yourself in when you're in some dark hours, or when you're in some troubling times, or when you feel like you're getting weary or weak, or you feel like you're going to faint. You'll find yourself picking up this book and kind of going to whatever that favorite chapter of yours is to read it. And so, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the launch of the book. Again, it will be February, no doubt. I just don't want to give a day because we had all these dates in December and then January. So I don't want to give a date, but I know for sure, for certain, without doubt, that the book will launch. It will be available for purchase in February. I will be keeping you all posted on our first new season show, which is next week, February the 4th. We had a few changes. We are changing the time. So we have been 7 p.m. forever, Pacific Standard Time, but my life changed, and I'm no longer in Pacific Standard Time. So now I need to make some adjustments. And I played around with this, and I went back and forth. I didn't want to change it. I wanted to be sensitive to my followers, listening audience who have been following me for some time now. But confirmation is that I am changing the time. It's only going to adjust by an hour. And what it's doing is allowing those in the Central Standard Time and the Eastern Standard Time to be able to get a chance to enjoy the show as well without it getting so late into the night. So we are going to be changing starting next week, and the flyers will reflect it that we will be going to 6 p.m. So it'll be 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So I'm excited about that as well. Hopefully that doesn't cause any conflict for those who have been faithful in following us here on Processing the Pain. So again, keep your eyes open. I'll be sending out information starting next week. You're going to start getting information about the book. You're going to get information about the pre-sales. There's going to be a special gift if you pre-order your book. It's going to come with a special gift for the pre-order, and then we're going to tell you exactly when the book will be launching, which means that you could just go on to Amazon, be able to purchase the book, and have it in 2 to 3 days. Amen. So, again, I am super excited. So tonight, again, I'm not staying long, but I did not want another Thursday to go by without me just sharing and bringing you all up to date about the new things to come. Again, the book, we are the show itself, the broadcasting of the show. It will still be on Thursdays, but we adjusted the time by an hour, so we will start an hour earlier than we normally do. That will be our new time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then also, I want to just share something really quick with you all. I just want to kind of share some revelations that I've been receiving during this season. And I was sharing with you all earlier, about the fear and the different things that begin to take place. And while I was taking the time over the weekend, like I told you, I reread my book, and it was a blessing. And the word that really resonated in my spirit was realistic faith walkers. Realistic faith walkers. And I'll probably get more in detail next week, but I just want to share that with you. And what God was telling me in that is that I had became realistic. I had became very realistic and it's easy to do. Even as believers, it's easy for us to become realistic. Why? Because we're seeing everything in front of us. We're seeing doom and gloom. We're seeing death and disease. We're seeing economic, fall. We're seeing a world before us, and we're looking and we're seeing it, and we see a fallen world, a world plagued by sin, and it's falling. It's literally spiraling out of control. It's out of control. And so it's easy for us to believe what we see. So as we start seeing this, it's in the flesh starts believing it. You see it, it believe it. That's what realist means. A realist says, because I see it, I believe it. As believers, that's in contrary to God. Because as believers, our whole walk is, I don't see it, but I believe it. So we, as believers, we walk by faith, and faith says, I don't see it, but I believe it. And realism says, I see it, so I believe it. So if we're not careful, if we pay too much attention to the news and to the various blogs and reality TV and social media that's telling us about the world. I mean, everything, the world, the changing of the world, the things that we're seeing going on that we didn't used to see before. And if we leave any room to open that door, we could begin to become realists. So now we're not, and you've seen it. You've seen it. If you're on social media, some of you are not, so you haven't had to experience it. But for those of you that are on social media, you have to experience it. What did you experience? You experienced friends that you've probably been knowing for years, and now you're finding out the true hearts of people, what people really believe, what people really been thinking. See, it's one thing to put on a facade, and you can say, hallelujah, glory to God, God is good, and we can say those things. But see, it's another thing when you start seeing the heart of people. And during these elections, we begin to really see the heart of people. And the church as a whole, we've seen some not so positive things. We've seen Christian against Christian because their political views weren't the same. So they began to battle with one another. The hate, the anger, the bitterness came out. And all these things began to go about because people are not agreeing. We're all supposed to be of one body, but everybody is at each other. And then it really brought to pass the scripture when it tells us about in the end times, you know, mothers against daughters, and, you know, it just goes on to say all these negative things. And it may not be a literal sense of a mother going up against a daughter, but look at the conflict that's going on amongst the body. Look at people not getting along. Look at people now have embraced political sides. And when you choose, you know, people feel like they've been forced to choose sides. And now you choose sides. And what happens when you choose sides? Well, you're going to be team this side, right? So if you're team this side, then when this side wins or don't win, guess what? Now there's a problem. So we've seen all of this going on, and it caused us to become realists. We're seeing reality. We say it, reality. And we're looking at reality, and we're seeing this stuff, and now we have all these major decisions that we have to start thinking about. You know, oh my gosh, I don't want to die. Let me go get the vaccine. Or, oh my gosh, I don't want to die, so don't go outside. Don't do it. Because it's becoming real now. It's not just, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. It's becoming real. Now we have family members who have caught COVID. Praise God, they caught it. They went through it, and they're still here with us. Some of us have family members or friends that's not still here with us because they caught COVID or they had other health conditions, whatever the real truth is, but they died nonetheless. And so it became a reality. When it gets close to home, it's no longer just it becomes a reality. And so God was saying that the reason why people are struggling right now in their walk, the reason why people are struggling with anger and bitterness and frustration and heavy-heartedness is because they stop being faith walkers, and now they're realists. And so you can't be both. You can't be a realist and walk by faith. It just can't happen. It's impossible. It's just like if you in a dark room, if you cut the light on, dark and light can't coexist. Neither can realism and faith. They can't exist. And so he began to share with me, your disconnect is because now you've allowed fear and you've allowed the reality of what's going on to begin to overtake you. And again, so now reality was becoming more of, it was rising on my, it shifted my paradigm. So now I'm looking at the things I could see. God say, we got to look at the things we can't see. You know, we know Hebrew. Everybody knows Hebrew 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we know that. So we have to get back into our faith wall. Because let me tell you something. You know, the word of God tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, guess what? When you're in reality, when you're stuck in the realism, you're not reading your word. Most likely you're not reading your word. Why? Because you can't. Why? Because you're too caught up. Your attention, your undivided attention is towards what's going on. So if I'm paying attention to the stats of COVID, how many people are dying, what states are red, what states are blue, if we're going to be, if this is the right politician, if this is not the right politician, do they really have our best interests at heart? No, maybe they don't have our best interests at heart. Oh, my God, is this going to happen? Well, this is going to, so you're getting involved in all this stuff. So now this is where your attention is. So what that means, you're not spending time with God. You're not reading your word. You're not being still. You know, and God says, you know, be still and know that I'm God. We're not being still. So now we are struggling in our walk. We don't understand. There's a sense of, you feel lonely. You feel a sense of isolation. You feel disconnected. You begin to ask God, where are you? You know, where are you, Lord? And so one of the things that, the other thing that God led me to after he helped me to realize, I'm in sin. Because if you're in realism, you're in sin because you're no longer in faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I wasn't pleasing God because I wasn't walking in faith. I was now walking in my reality. And my reality was that I was dealing with COVID. My reality was that, that I was kind of in a sense of fear of what was going to go on with our world. My reality was is that I couldn't get home to my family. I couldn't, you know, I'm used to being able to jump on a plane and come and see my parents and my siblings. I wasn't able to do that. So all these were realities. These were realities, and these realities began to choke me out. They began to smother me. They began to choke out my faith, and I no longer was operating in faith. And because I wasn't operating in faith, I was operating in sin. And guess what? Sin separates us from God. If you're operating in sin, and I don't care what that sin is in your life, it's going to separate us from God. Not because God leaves us, but because we leave God when we join with sin. Because when we're joined with sin, we ourselves don't feel comfortable to be in the presence of God. And God does not entertain sin. Amen. And so sometimes we'll be in sin longer than we need to be in sin. Why? Because it's not the obvious sin. The obvious sin is that, oh, yeah, if I'm out there having sex outside of marriage, the obvious sin is that if I'm out there stealing, cheating, and conniving people, you know, the obvious sin is, you know, certain things. And so if I'm not operating in those obvious sins, then I may not see the little sins. And it says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. So I didn't see the little sins. The little sin was fear. The little sins were worry. The little sins was, fretting. And everything about the word God says, you know, he didn't give us a spirit of fear. He tells us, look at the lily. They don't worry. They don't plow. They don't do this. And yet, have you ever seen anything more beautiful than them? Look at the sparrows, you know, and so when we start worrying. We become like the children of Israel when they went, you know, when God delivered them out the mouth of Egypt and he brought them into the wilderness. And instead of them being grateful and thankful that he was providing their needs, he was making a way every day for them. Instead of them being grateful that they were no longer bound to slavery, that they were no longer bound by the Egyptians, instead of them being happy that they were getting a meal and that they had enough, they began to worry and they began to fret and they began to murmur and they began to complain, because when you are worrying and when you're in fear and when you're fretting, guess what happens? It begins to produce the spirit of anger, the spirit of bitterness. All these things begin to come about. And when those things become the focal point, then guess what? God, that's not pleasing to God. We see he was not pleased with the children. He was not pleased with those children. Matter of fact, because of their ungratefulness, their murmuring, complaining, they didn't even make it into the promised land. So he began to show me this. And so when he begins to show us our stuff, whatever your stuff is, maybe yours wasn't worrying and fear, but when he begins to show us our stuff, the next phase of that is, are we going to be willing to repent? And so I want to read something to you here really quickly. Let's see if I can. I have a couple of things I wanted to share with you guys on tonight. So as I was in my quiet time and thinking, Lord, you know, this is just about me. This was really just about me. How can I want to repent, you know. But more than just repent, I really want my heart to change. You know, I want that mind that was, let this mind be in me, Coach D, that was also in Christ Jesus. And so I began to think about David, you know, and God led me to Psalms 51, and I'm going to read that in a minute. But one of the things he was revealing to me that I was brokenhearted. And he said, those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit are willing to do anything and everything that God asks of them without resistance or resentment. We cease doing things our way and learn to do them God's way instead. In such a condition of submissiveness, the atonement can take effect and true repentance can occur. So I didn't want to just give lip service. I didn't want to just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, because I wanted to come from in deep in my heart. I wanted to produce change. So I went to Psalm 51, and I'm going to read it for you. So you know me. It has only 19 verses, but I want to read Psalm 51 because, again, I wanted God to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, and I wanted to get back on track. And so I'm going to read from NIV, and here it says, again, Psalm 51, starting at verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me, ooh, Jesus, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous and burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered for your altar. The part here that just really stuck out for me is just really verses 10 through 17. And he said, a contrite heart, you know, and that's a brokenness. When we become broken before the Lord, where we want to just be submissive, where we really have a remorse, you know, of displeasing him, where we have a remorse of us being disconnected and being caught up in our sin, and we just really want a spirit of repentance. And, you know, we want a clean heart. We want a renewed spirit. And I don't know about you all, but I don't want him to cast me from his presence or take his Holy Spirit from me. So that's what he shared with me. And it was refreshing. It was refreshing that he shared that with me, and he was able to renew me. And I'm sorry that I did get a little distracted. I heard some sounds, and I just wanted to make sure everything was well. But it was refreshing. I'm glad he shared that with me. I'm glad he began to deal with me where I was at. I thank God because he always deals with us wherever we're at. When we seek his face, he'll be found. When we seek his face, he will be found. And I'm glad that he began to show me where I was with him and where my heart was with him. And he also showed me, you know, correction, why I was where I was at. Because I had no clue. I just didn't understand why I was where I was at. All I knew is that I was in fear. You know, I was scared. And I remember my mentor telling me, you know, sometimes we just have to speak it out and tell God, you know, I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. And just be real, you know. And we speak about being real, but God, he already knows. But he wants us to be real with ourselves so that we could be real with him. He already knows what's going on with us. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows our fears and our frustrations and stuff. But we have to acknowledge it. And so tonight, I think all I wanted to share with you is this. We can't live in reality and live in faith. We can't get caught up in what's going on in the world and serve God. We can't do both. So we either going to be people of faith and walk by faith, or we're going to be people, or we're going to be realist, and we're going to walk based on reality, what's going on, who's in the office, who's not in the office, what political party won, what political party didn't win. Do we have, is COVID real if it's not real? Is the vaccine real if it's not real? You know, all these different things, everything that we worry or concerned about, we're supposed to bring before the Lord anyway, and we're supposed to pray on it and let the Lord reveal what he needs you to do. Cody D, no, I'm choosing not to take the vaccine, but what I would tell you is to pray on it. Pray on it and see what the Lord tells you. If the Lord reveals to you not to take it, then I suggest that you don't take it. If he reveals to you to take it, then take it. But what I will tell you is don't take it out of fear of dying. Do not take the vaccine out of fear of dying. Because if you do it out of fear, then you're not doing it by faith. You're doing it because I'm scared, I'm going to die, so let me take the vaccine. And that's the wrong reason. That would be the wrong reason, out of fear, because fear may cause you to make a decision that God does not want you to make. So I would tell you to be prayerful. There's a lot going on, and I would tell a lot of people, get into your word, know what the Word of God say. Because if you know what the Word of God say, it's going to be difficult for you to be tricked. And there's a lot of deception going on, and there's things that's going to even confound the wise. So there's, you know, I don't care how much you know the Word of God, or you say you've been knowing the Word of God, or we all been saved since we was knee-high to the grasshopper. I'm just saying there's some things going on in the world, and we need to be, that we cannot see with our natural eyes. We're going to have to see it with our spiritual eyes. And the only way we can see it with our spiritual eyes is to be connected to God. That means that we're going to have to be walking in the Spirit so that we don't get deceived and caught up by the lust of the flesh. Amen. Amen. Well, again, this was a short show, but there are some things for those who are just tuning in or maybe tuned in a little while ago. I just want to remind everybody that we are changing, that this process in the pain will be launching its new season next week, February the 4th. We have a new time. We are no longer we are no longer on at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We've moved our show up an hour so that everyone could get a chance to enjoy the show, even from the East Coast. So our new hours of operation is 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And all flyers, if you hear about the show either through social media or if you're part of the email blast, the new flyer will reflect those new times. Again, our first show of 2021 will actually be February the 4th, which is next week. The book, look at your neighbor and say, the book is finally produced. It will be launching soon. I will be keeping you all posted. Next week, I'm hoping to be able to give you a launch date, and we're going to be going, we're going to only do so many pre-sales. So we're only going to do, I'm not sure, I don't know that yet either. I'll be letting you know that next week. But we're only going to do a few pre-sales. I think we're going to do 50 or 100 pre-sales. And they're only going to pre-sale for about, we're only going to do it for about 2 days, two or 3 days. So I will keep you all posted, make sure that you're aware. Want to make sure that my listening audience who has been following Process in the Pain from the beginning, I want to make sure that you all have your opportunity to make sure that you get the pre-sale special on the book. And, again, it will be launching fully where you will be able to go on Amazon and purchase the book. I don't have that date, but it will be in February for sure. It will be shortly after the pre-sale. So, again, I know that I'm believing that by the second week in February that the book will be launching. And I will make sure that I keep you posted. Again, through either the email blast and also social media. And by next week on our first show of the year, I will be announcing that as well. So I'm really excited about this book. Like I told you all that I literally took time this weekend and shut down. And in one day, I read this whole book, and it just really encouraged me. It encouraged me. And it reminded me, because sometimes when we do our writings, if it's inspired by God, it's good to go back and reread it and see, you know, okay, Lord, what was you saying in this book? So it's some good nuggets in this book. It is a good book, and it has places for you to take notes. It has places for you to journal. So it's not just a reading book. You literally could get your pen, and so you could jot down your thoughts, and it has questions that it asks you, and so it's interactive, and that's a good thing. It's interactive. Now, you may or may not want to write in it because you're going to find yourself wanting to go back to this book as a regular resource and tool for you when you're feeling in despair and you feel like you're going through something painful. This book could really help walk you through it. Amen. So, again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. I am excited. I am ready for this new season, and I'm excited about what God is going to do. For the last several seasons, you know, the last several years, we've been talking processing the pain. Well, we're going to continue to process life pain, but this season we're going to focus on pursuing purpose. We're going to focus on pursuing purpose, and that's why I read Psalm 51, because Psalm 51 is really about pursuing purpose, and that purpose is who? Jesus. So we're going to just spend a lot of time in this season coming up just pursuing God, allowing God to create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits, get us back on track, wash off all the cares and concerns of the pain. We've been battling the process pain, and now we want to be done with the battling. Now we want to pursue purpose. And so I'm excited about this season, and I hope you're excited too. One of the things you could do for us here at Processing the Pain MCD Network, tell a friend. If you know somebody you think could benefit from the show, let them know. Encourage them. Support us. Encourage them to tune in. Hey, tune in. It's only a 45-minute hour show. Tune in and listen in. Invite friends to tune in and listen in to the show. That's how you could support us. Other ways that you could support us, we're never taking up donations and offerings. We're not going to take up donations and offerings. But if God put it on your heart to sow a seed into, I believe this is good ground, then I encourage you to do so. I believe if you get the email blast, it tells you about how you can sow a seed. If you want to sow a seed into the network, then feel free to. But we don't want you to feel like you can't benefit, that you can't listen in, and that you can't continue to support us in other ways as well. So, again, I want to thank you all for taking the time to tune in to tonight. And we're looking forward to the new season, the first show next week. Don't forget the time. I don't want people tuning in and the show's over. 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We will see you all next week. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a blessed night.